This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. Sports Bros here. Rob.
Sada.
It's me. Big Sook's right over there.
Ready.
With dude.
Ryan Buckley is here.
I love cows.
Coming up tonight in the club hour, let's take a look at what we have here. It's in the tickle trunk, huh?
Let's play the game. Take a look.
10
little,
least.
Little.
Right in the butt.
Whoa. Buckley. So disappointed in you.
Hell yeah, that's good pizza.
What is happening?
I don't know. It's happening to our wonderful Wednesday.
Get it.
What would you say you do here?
10 least expensive expat destinations.
Oh, okay. We were talking about yesterday. If we fake our death, where do you want to go?
10 survival myths that could get you killed.
Hmm. All right. So this is more of a...
couple of tens.
Yeah, the more you know sort of thing happening.
Yeah, we're going to educate you.
I like it.
Coming up this hour, we'll get some college football playoff thoughts out onto the airwaves.
Yeah, because the rankings just were quickly done because they had to kind of mush them in between the two games, which,
yeah,
by the way, both of those games last night turned out to be really good games.
Yeah, do we have to have Cooper Flagg talk today?
Oh, he was a beast right until those two turnovers at the end. He sucks.
He looked pretty good to me.
Did you not see the end of the game? Two straight turnovers cost him the game. He's a bum. And then how about the Portland Pilots gacking away
yeah,
a 5-point lead over the Ducks with 36 seconds to play? That one kid from the Pilots, I forget what his name was, that dude missed three free throws and had a turnover in like 25 seconds.
God dang, what do you think?
That's tough.
Have we gone back and listened to Swigard's call?
Yeah, I have the final call here. Let's see.
It's over! We think.
I did see it earlier.
The Pilots lost to like UC Santa Barbara by 40 the other night.
They almost beat the Ducks.
Dude, they were up the entire game.
Crazy.
They're up 11 in the second
half
twice.
Hold on, everybody.
So close. We'll just wait here.
Bloop. Well, I'm looking for it.
Buckley's
busy. Oh, here we go.
Inappropriate.
The Ducks will survive. They will get a win. But oh my, what an effort. And Dana Altman acknowledges the effort from the Pilots here tonight through the handshake line. But it's going to be a pretty quiet bus ride home thinking about what almost was. The Pilots had it. Two free throws to make it a two-possession game in the final minute, and they could not get it to go. Had chance in the final seconds to win it with a bucket in regulation. and they could not find the last 2 points. They fall to the Ducks in overtime here tonight, 80-70.
It's probably the highlight of the pilot season, almost beating the Ducks.
He sounds very sad.
Yeah. Here's when things were going good.
2:35 to go. 60-57 is the lead. Portland's led for the last 25 minutes. Ballou open for three. Answers! The freshman delivers!
Nice.
So close.
Dana Altman said after the game, "Believe me, I am happy we won, but I would have been unbelievably miserable had we lost. Yeah. Now I'm just miserable."
Yeah. Dude, they looked terrible.
Spoken like a true coach.
23 points in the first half for the Ducks.
Yeah, but he loves that.
Wolf.
You know,
they were 26.5 point favorites. Yeah.
If there's anybody that's going to take that and absolutely ram it down his players' throats,
it's Dan
Dana
Lanning.
Altman. Oh, Dan Lanning. Yeah. They secretly love that.
Oh,
they love the close win.
Lanning's going to the NFL. What are you talking about?
I'm cooking on your grill.
Yeah, I heard somebody else talking about that. What is going on there?
There was someone had mentioned that the college coach thing in the NFL is kind of dead. But, you know, with the whole Jim Harbaugh thing, that high energy, you know, sort of could be a thing NFL teams are looking for. Someone mentioned Dan Lanning said he reminds them of a young Dan Campbell. That's all it was. Someone literally said.
Who's someone?
I'll have to go and pull it, but there was just it was a Twitter post and an article, and someone had mentioned that an NFL team could come looking at Dan Lanning perhaps, and of course then Duck fed, he would never leave us, and you know that whole thing.
We're gonna have to do a seggy on that.
No,
why not?
No, we won't. We should ask Dan Lanning. If his team was flat because of the election. He loved that question.
Somebody asked that.
Someone asked that. Okay. Hand to God. Someone asked.
What did
that.
He say?
Oh, he just was. You could just see the look of just, are you kidding me? And then
he's basically like, a lot of things happen. We play football. I love America.
Jeremy Fowler had it. Jeremy Fowler, that Dan Lanning is generating buzz in the NFL coaching circles per Jeremy Fowler.
Ooh.
So, America, yeah! And then, of course, that turns into Duck fan who, like, Dan Lanning would never leave us.
What an opportunity.
He'll be here at Oregon forever. No one would ever leave us. You know, it's that whole.
Except for Cristobal.
And we just rolled, brother.
And Kelly.
And Kelly.
You know.
But the best part of football is football. Wait. And so you got to do football.
Did Belotti leave or did he?
No.
Oh, no, he turned it over
he
to Chip.
Yeah, he just stepped aside.
Yeah, he became the GM, the athletic director.
Yeah.
So. But yes, his name did come up, and so, you know. You know what happens when your coach is good?
Yeah.
Other people want him.
When you have the number one team in the country.
Yeah, it happens. So.
I think he's out of here.
You should ask him, hey, heard that Dallas Cowboy job is going to be open soon.
Can you freaking imagine if he left for the Dallas Cowboys?
God.
So, Cowboys, Jets.
Raiders will be open.
Raiders.
Yeah.
Giants, maybe?
Jaguars.
Jags.
Will be open.
Where do you see Dan going?
Well, Dallas Cowboys, of course. He's a Midwest guy.
I thought they were saying Vrabel's going to the Cowboys. Vrabel to the Jets.
That was before Dan Lanning's name was made available. What are you talking about?
Dion to the Cowboys.
I've heard that. There was an ex-Cowboy. It might have been Irvin. Someone was lobbying for that, was lobbying for Dion.
I thought Dion said once that he didn't care
for the... He said he wouldn't do the NFL because he couldn't control the players.
Yeah, he likes to be heavy-handed.
Yes, and that wouldn't work.
He also, I think he also said he knows that NFL players, a lot of them aren't that competitive. Like, they're just good athletes.
Yeah, they wouldn't like...
And so they wouldn't like his will to win.
A.K.A. I can't bully the players. It's hard to be a bully NFL coach.
Well, I've got Lanning going to the Raiders.
Oh, okay. You should ask him about that.
If you see any good players, tell him to come here.
Problem in the NFL is you don't get to pick all the best players. Tends to be problematic. Ask Urban Meyer about that.
Now, do you think he would be a good NFL coach?
No idea. Couldn't tell you. Just no idea. It is a completely different sport going from college to the NFL. Not only is it completely different scheme and schematic wise and the ability of the players, the level and the preparation, you don't get to pick your players. You do, but there's it's not like you just get to all the best players. And then the other one too is, can you relate to grown men? It's a whole different ballgame relating to to 20-year-old boys versus men. Ask Nick Saban. I mean, Joey Harrington's got great stories about that, that Dante Culpepper and Zach Thomas aren't interested in Nick Saban's rah-rah BS.
What?
Didn't work with Chip Kelly. I mean, that's just, it's a rub. So yeah. Lanning is such an intense guy, and I think Lanning is a guy that could relate to most people. Does that intensity Dan Lanning speech, does that work with a 33-year-old dude that's got three kids? I think
he's better suited for college.
I would tend to think that too, but you never know. I wouldn't think Harbaugh works in the NFL, but it does. Harbaugh to me seems like the definition of the heavy-handed college coach, but his stuff, now it wears thin, but it works in the NFL.
I feel like he's changed though, because everything I see from him now is that he just basically just is rah-rah.
Yeah.
Well, but that's kind of how he is when he first gets to anywhere. That's how he was when he first got to Michigan. That's how he was when he first got to the Niners, when he first got to Stanford. I think then he kind of settles into the guy who's ultimately hard to work with after 4 or 5 years.
He's a lot. And he admits that he's a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
It's a lot of milk.
The college football playoff rankings came out last night. We'll have some thoughts on that coming up next. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com.
Being a man of increase?
Number five.
Well, it turns out Spurs coach Greg Popovich suffered a mild stroke.
Yeah, that's scary stuff. I mean, you knew it was something serious the way they were talking about it.
And that's the reason he has taken a leave of absence. No timetable for his return. Pop is 75.
Yeah.
They say that he's already started a rehab program and is expected to make a full recovery.
Yeah, you just wonder, you know, 75 and, you know, your team's not that good. You got Wemby, you had a stroke. Like,
go drink your wine, man.
Right? But maybe he's one of those guys that can't.
Is he a lifer?
It's possible. Maybe he just can't be away from the game, but... You know, if you're going to get something that's going to wake you up, I would assume a stroke is one of those things. But I just wish him, you know, whatever he decides to do, that's just, that's scary. You get to that age, you start having, there's no such thing to me as a minor stroke when you're 75.
Number four.
Well, the Blazers rallied last night. They beat Minnesota. And their prize is they get to play them again tonight.
Yeah. By the way, I think it's still a 9-point spread, so...
That's what it was last time?
Yeah. Nothing changed.
The Blazers lineup is changing.
Yes.
Anthony Simons left last night due to shortness of breath. He had to get some tests today. He is out. They just say it's illness.
Yeah.
Robert Williams will be resting on the back-to-back, and DeAndre Ayton is still hurt, and he will not play.
Yeah. He didn't play yesterday. He's got some sort of finger issue. So something tells me the Blazers aren't going to shoot 60% from behind the arc, so... 10.5 now. You want to take the Blazers in the points?
I will lay them.
I will always lay the points against the Blazers. Not that I'm doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm never betting on them.
Understood.
Ever. Well, maybe. No, ever.
Number 3.
The Mariners are reportedly in play for 9-year veteran infielder Yoan Moncada.
All right.
You know who that is?
No.
He used to be a hot prospect in the White Sox organization.
Yeah, he was one of the hottest young players several years ago. Plays for the White Sox, but he's not really that good, and he is always hurt. Does that tickle you?
Sounds about right.
That sound like a Mariner to you?
See where Teoscar Hernandez won a Silver Slugger yesterday?
Yeah.
And the Mariners were like, strike out too much.
Very on brand.
Strike out too much.
Not for us, but you'll be great somewhere else.
Someone else, I forget who, was one of the Seattle sports guys. It might have been Puckett. Someone had a great bid because, you know, Juan Soto's meeting with teams or whatever, and it was like, hey, breaking news, the Mariners are offering Juan Soto a 5-year, $60 million deal. Did a whole mock.
They're opening up the checkbooks this offseason.
Thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's also being reported the Mariners will be making a pitch for Japanese pitcher Roki Sasaka.
Is he the
Wait,
next?
Wait, Sasaki.
He's the next. Because yeah,
they say he's really good.
Yeah, but I read a thing. I wasn't certain if that was the one, but they said there's a he's.
There is zero chance they outbid the Dodgers.
Probably,
and I mean zero.
So he'll be coming. So it'll be Yamamoto, this guy, and Ohtani.
That's right.
And Kershaw will be back, and Wheeler.
Do you think the Dodgers will eventually be an all-Japanese baseball team? And they just dominate Major League Baseball?
Be interesting. Wouldn't that be something? Tell you what, I would be forced to have them be my favorite team. I don't think the BTJ would have it any other way.
Hey, this is some late-breaking news. College football. Boston College, Bill O'Brien benched his quarterback, Thomas Castellanos. Now, this is a guy, he's a dual-threat guy. He's had a pretty good year, but he was benched the last game. And then Bill O'Brien came out and said the other kid's going to start. And so Castellanos is now leaving Boston College. Yeah. He will be the new quarterback of the Oregon Ducks next year, probably.
Like, deuces, I'm out. I think it was like Lane Kiffin that was saying this. Just he's like, dude, we have free agency in the middle of the season. You can't.
Well, you can't pick him up now, but he's going into the transfer portal, and we'll play somewhere else next season.
Yep.
But now a coach is out a serviceable quarterback midseason because he made a football decision.
Yes. Yeah, if you bench a kid now, there's a good chance the kid's just like, well,
and so now if something happens to the guy you want to play, you got to go to your third stringer or a walk-on or whatever.
Do you have to give back NIL money?
I don't know. I mean, it usually comes that the teams are protecting themselves by coming in payments. So when you leave, like no one's getting their NIL payment up front. So whatever he's gotten, he does not have to give back. But I'm sure that it's
they'll
broken.
Stop his payments.
They'll stop his payments.
Hmm. Must not have been getting that much.
Apparently not. I mean, there's been some things where I'm trying to remember what program it was, but another booster had to there. We'll talk about it. There was a team, I was just reading about this, where another booster had to step up mid-year and pay because players were threatening to sit out games because payments weren't going through on NIL.
Number one, back to some quarterback news. The Colts are returning to Anthony Richardson as starting quarterback this week. They play the Jets. And the coach there says he will remain the starter for the rest of the season.
Yep.
Raiders say Gardner Minshew will be their quarterback this week in Miami. Mac Jones ready to shock the world as the Jags visit the Lions this week because Trevor Lawrence remains out. Aaron Rodgers says he'll play in 2025, he thinks. And DK Metcalf is back at practice for the Seahawks.
That's a lot of news. Kind of cramming it all in there. Yeah, and Anthony Richardson, good luck to you, man. I feel bad for him. He had no business coming out. So, and this is why they're saying that some of these guys now with NIL, have you seen that? Like early entries in the NFL are down over 30% since NIL.
No, yeah. But that stands to reason.
Yeah, guys aren't leaving, and the Anthony Richardson thing. There's some agents that are saying that more players like Anthony Richardson now will not be coming out. It used to be, hey, you're a first round quarterback, you leave, and agents are getting smart now and being like, I understand we can go now and get the bag, but you're not prepared for this. And if Anthony Richardson tanks this year, his career as a starter may basically be done. It's a Justin Fields thing. You're better off sticking around, making your NIL money, learning to play the position, and setting yourself up for a better NFL payday. Because especially as a quarterback, that rookie contract is not where you make your money. It's the second contract.
Isn't this a good thing for all parties?
Yes, this should be good. And it's going to make the college game better.
Correct. Victorico's Mexican food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com. College football playoff talk next on The Fan.
Text line. Remember when NIL was supposed to be pay for play? Oh, the good old days.
When what?
When NIL wasn't pay for play. That was like one of the original rules of NIL was it wasn't pay for play.
Well, I mean, it's technically not. Because it's the only thing that exists right now. But by next year, is it next year? They're going to start with
the settlement. They'll actually,
actual pay-for-play, so you'll have NIL and pay-for-play.
Yeah, but they tried to stop it, pay-for-play, and then remember Tennessee and a couple other schools and states sued the NCAA, and so now the NCAA won't do anything about it because they just lose in court. So technically, you still can't have pay-for-play, but it's like the NCAA won't do anything about it because it just goes to the courtroom and then they get their teeth kicked in. So it's just kind of weird. And
you know
and
who's
done.
Benefiting from all of that right now anyway? Billy Napier, Brent Venables, Lincoln Riley, Sam Pittman.
Yeah.
You know, all these dudes that are on the hot seat.
A lot of money.
They are not going to get fired.
No.
Because schools these have, coaches or these team, these schools,
come up with
these
dough.
Athletic departments have to come up with like $20 more million dollars next year just to pay their kids.
That'd be like, was it 20, I think it's like $23 million is the highest level of it. And then you still have to come up with your NIL. And now NIL can come from the school as well. So, yeah, it's so basically now, in order to field what appears to be like a top 15-ish team, you're going to need roughly $40 million, $45 million a year just to field the team. I mean, it's a good hunk of dough. I mean, it's not an NFL salary cap or anything like that. But, I mean, if you're one of those schools that's looking at that right now and you're like, we got to come up with an extra $45 million, you're like, holy crap. And some schools are doing like the taxes on the seats. Like Oregon said, I saw a press release, Oregon's going to be raising season ticket prices, but they said there won't be a talent fee tax, which, I mean, you can say that all you want, but isn't just raising ticket prices kind of the same thing? You're just not calling it a tax, because some other schools are saying that there's a talent tax on top of whatever it is that you're donating. So, I mean, but it's all coming from the same place. Next year, when the settlement goes through, it's all going to come from the athletic department. You don't have to have any more weird separation of church and state. It can all just come from one entity.
Well, the rankings are out. Oregon's number one.
Again.
How about that?
They're not just number one. I've yet to see a real pundit, like someone that's respected, that thinks anyone other than Oregon is the best team in the country. It's kind of, I mean,
you know what?
It's weird.
Well, they
are. And yet it's true.
I was going to say they are.
Yeah.
But that said, I don't know about you. I feel like Ohio State thinks this thing is teed up for them.
Sure.
Because, well, first of all, they're the odds-on favorite now, not Oregon. And they certainly don't fret over a rematch with Oregon because they already almost won at Autzen.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to beat Indiana and Michigan, and I can't imagine they are, you know, I'm sure Indiana has their attention.
But I think that Indiana-Michigan game probably gave them a little bit of a sigh of relief.
And Michigan's down.
Yeah.
And so then they're going to get a rematch with Oregon, and what other big boy scares them? I mean, would it be Texas? I don't know.
I don't know.
I think that if you're Ohio State right now, you feel great about your situation.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody thinks they're going to beat Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, that changes things. But they beat Indiana, they get some revenge against Michigan, they're in the Big Ten title game.
Yep.
And they're probably in the tournament even if they lose to Oregon again.
Yes.
And then they're not scared of Oregon a third time, are they?
No. I just think if you're Oregon and Ohio State, if you gave me, this is tough because I usually like the field, but if you gave me Oregon and Ohio State, I think I would probably take that over the field. I think I think one of those two teams is going to win a national championship. I think they're the two best teams. Now, we may get someone that gets hot. My team that I kind of keep an eye on is Alabama. I feel like Alabama may be starting to figure some stuff out. And if they just played a little better defense and Milroe appears to be locked in and they've certainly using his legs more. I just thought early in the year, I thought it was a mistake when they were trying to play him more in a traditional passing offense. They're turning him loose. And if the defense, if this is kind of the awakening of the defense that we've seen here over the last couple weeks, Alabama may be a team that has something to say about this, but I'm with you. I think Georgia, by the way, may not just make the playoff. Oregon and Ohio State appear to me to be the two best teams. And I don't know if either one's scared. Like, I don't think Oregon's scared of Ohio State. I just think that's going to be Godzilla versus Mothra, and let's go.
I feel like there are six teams that can win it. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss.
See, and I don't think, I'm not going to put Georgia in there.
After that, you're in the Penn State,
Tennessee
range, and those teams, I don't know that they are dynamic enough to win the whole thing.
No. And I'm a little spooked, and I don't know if I'm going to be persuaded until you get to the postseason. I'm a little spooked of Texas.
Meaning good or bad? What does that mean?
Bad. I don't.
You don't think they're good?
Well, again, not that they're not good. I just, when I look at Texas, right, we thought the beginning of the year, we thought the Michigan game was this real definitive statement. Can we all just say Michigan's not good? They're not a good football team. They're not. It's one-dimensional beyond belief. Their next best win is probably Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt took them to the wire. And Vanderbilt's a nice team. I mean, they beat Alabama in a big upset. But after that, they got Arkansas, Kentucky, and Texas A&M, and I don't think Texas A&M is very good either. I think they're really one-dimensional.
Well, some of the shine's off Georgia, and Georgia
hammered them. I mean, so bitch-slapped them. And that so that's why I'm kind of, like, I look at Texas, and I'm like, it's Sark. And last year, they made the playoff, and we're like, oh, Texas is this uber-talented team, but there was some quarterback stuff going on there, and they've had some injury problems. I'm just not certain that as much as I feel really good about Oregon and Ohio State, absolutely do. Those two teams in the playoffs, rock solid. I feel better about Alabama, and Alabama may not even get in. I think they will. But if you ask me, which one do I think has a better chance to win the championship, Alabama or Texas? I'll take Bama. There's something about Texas that smells off.
Let me give you a scenario. This is from Peter Burns. Mm-hmm. If every SEC favorite wins out, so they're all favorites,
yeah,
they win. So not necessarily that would not be shocking.
Yeah.
And Arkansas beats Missouri,
mm-hmm,
the SEC championship game will be LSU and Texas A&M.
Will it really?
Yes.
That'd be
how do you feel about that?
I would not.
LSU could get in this tournament.
Boy. Well,
it's not far-fetched.
Three losses, right?
Yeah, they have three losses.
The other one that I say keep an eye on for, because again, I'm kind of soft on Georgia right now, Ole Miss should be undefeated. They are two plays away from being undefeated, and
they can win it.
What an exciting time.
I love when you get to big boy football. Give me a defensive line that can just wreak havoc. I mean, we see what it does in the NFL. And in college, it's even worse because quarterbacks don't handle it very well. And I can't get over how bad Ole Miss's defensive line made Georgia look on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I think that when you talk about coach, quarterback, and line play,
Ole Miss smells right.
Oregon's got it all, but so does Ole Miss.
Yeah, yep. And if Ohio State, my only thing about Ohio State is, and again, I need to look. No one ever tells long term, but I just the O line. Maybe they figured out against Penn State because they ran the ball real well. But just that's the only thing that gives me pause. Is this isn't the Ohio State team that we saw at the beginning of the year? It's been shuffled around, and maybe everything solidifies or they get some guys back. That's the only question I have about Ohio State. And all this can change because even with Oregon, like, Tez Johnson's down, and that's a big blow to them. But they have so many receivers. But what if, like, Evan Stewart gets hurt this week? And now you're like, crap. And then you're down, Harper's down. I don't think he's down for long term. But now let's say that, Cornelius or someone goes down. And now you're, again, like with the Ohio State thing, now you're into a backup to a backup, and you're shuffling someone else. Those are the weird things that you just, as you look down the barrel of this, as we finish the season, that's just the one thing that no one can ever predict is, do you have a rash of injuries or one key injury at a position?
A couple of other college football playoff tidbitties coming up next. Pertains to the Big 12.
It's the Big 12!
In Indiana. Here's Buck.
My Hoosiers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That was the rare break where we were coming back and neither one of you were here. Were you guys sword fighting?
We actually were. There's a lot of controversy going on right now in our bathroom.
Yeah, what's happening?
Well, one, somebody put a roll of paper towels in the dispenser that is supposed to be the one-by-one paper towels.
Oh.
So it doesn't really work, and my hands are all wet.
Yeah, I came back with wet hands, too. Yeah. It doesn't...
You can't...
Yeah,
they loaded the wrong kind of paper really into the paper dispenser.
And so I sat there for a while trying to get it out of there, and it just didn't work.
And that gave me the extra time to fire off those drops.
And then the second thing is one of the stalls is locked, but there's no one in there.
Oh. Well, but it's
and not... I don't know how that happens.
Hmm. So someone locked it and then went out underneath? Like ninja style?
You tell me.
I think if you just bump that door a little bit, my guess is it probably opens.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't
unless
try.
Maybe like going, slammed shut and the thing just kind of flipped over.
Unless someone's doing like a feetsies up sort of thing because they don't want you to see their
that's tootsies. What I guess, but Isaac said no. He looked in there to make sure.
Oh, no, I looked. Yeah, I peeked through the cracks.
I was going to say, because that could be a little uncomfortable if someone's in there and they don't want to, you know, don't want to be exposed. I don't use that bathroom anymore. I got my own private bathroom.
Can we talk about LeMoyne? I was just, here's the third controversy. Oh. I'm walking back. I'm all, you know, I'm a mess. I got wet hands.
Yeah.
And I'm looking out there, and they put a TV out there for us now.
Sure.
Because for some reason, I think they're going to film us watching sports.
Oh.
Even though we don't watch sports out there.
Yeah. I don't really know why, but I appreciate the gesture. Thanks. There's a big couch out there now.
Yeah. They got a whole setup. And UConn is playing, and they are playing a team named LeMoyne. Have you ever heard of
LeMoyne?
Now, we've talked about this before, that it seems like every year in college football or basketball, a new team pops up that you've never heard of.
Yes.
LeMoyne.
No.
This time of year for college basketball, there could be a dozen teams that I've never heard of that pop up any given week. It's unbelievable. Like, I don't know, Truett McConnell is playing tonight. Have you ever heard of Truett McConnell?
No. Who they got?
I don't know. They're playing Western Carolina, though.
Yeah, I see it right here.
Newberry is playing tonight. They're playing Campbell.
We got
Houston, those are two colleges.
Houston Christian's taking on Creighton. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I've heard of Houston Christian.
Have you really? Yeah. You've heard of Houston Christian, have you?
Yeah, I almost went there.
How about Tusculum? Have you ever heard of Tusculum?
No.
Or Tusculum. Mm. It's Tusculum.
Never heard of
them. Tusculum?
Which is more likely, that you know what LeMoyne, the mascot, is, or you know what conference they play in?
I definitely know. Don't know what conference they play in, LeMoyne, because I've never heard of them. I don't even know where they're from.
They play in the Northeast Conference.
Are they French? Are they from
France?
Oui. LeMoyne.
They're in the same conference as UMass Lowell, Albany, Maine.
UMass Lowell.
Yeah.
Is that never heard of them either?
Never heard of them. Vermont, the Catamounts.
Okay.
New Hampshire.
All
right. NGIT, is that New Jersey Institute of Technology?
NGIT?
Maybe?
NGIT, really?
I'm assuming that's
Mike Lynch.
I'm assuming that's New Jersey.
If it's NG, it wouldn't be New Jersey.
Oh. That's probably not New Jersey.
Oh. NJ.
That's swing,
sorry.
Spelled SWING.
Other universities playing today, Crowley's Ridge, Randall University.
What?
Yeah.
What is happening?
The LeMoyne, by the way, that's the Dolphins.
Fisk? Fisk is playing Alabama A&M.
So,
why is the team from the Northeast the Dolphins, by the way?
They have dolphins out there, huh?
They have dolphins in the Northeast?
Off Montauk?
Sure. Is that a thing?
No, probably not.
Yeah, they have dolphins out there.
I don't think they do.
Yeah. Dolphins in the rivers. Pink.
Oh, the freshwater Dolphins. Yeah,
they're fifth in the Northeast Conference right now, and they're down by 40 to Connecticut.
So Georgia has a strength of schedule that is number one in the country,
mm-hmm.
and I know that Bartu always talks about strength of schedule. Is, I mean, I don't.
What an idiot!
I think he thinks that it doesn't matter at all.
No, he thinks that it's pointless. Just win games. So
yeah.
He says schedule nobody.
Yeah. So, but Reese Davis was pointing out that Georgia has the number one strength of schedule in all of college football, but they are the first team out. They're not even in the field.
Yeah.
Indiana has played no one, but they're number five.
Yeah.
So his point is the eye test absolutely, at least early, they are indicating the eye test matters.
Well, it'll be interesting to see is let's say Indiana loses to Ohio State. It's their only loss. Right, and then they don't play in the Big Ten title game. Probably be Oregon and Ohio State in a rematch. Georgia wins out; they go 7-2. I guess that would be 10-2. Don't play in the SEC title game, but Indiana is sitting there at 11-1. Therein lies the question: does Georgia, with this nasty schedule, do they leapfrog?
Yes.
Indiana.
I think they do.
I think that in like if that's the battle for the 11 seeds, the 12 seed will be Boise or whatever team ends up being the group of five. That's where I want to see is if that's a close loss to let's say they lose by 2 points to Ohio State.
That's the key.
Does someone have the balls to tell an 11-1 Indiana that you don't get to go?
Yeah, that's the key. I think Reese was saying that we're basically at the point now where if Indiana just plays well at Ohio State,
yeah.
They're in the tournament.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with BYU. If BYU ham and eggs their way to a 12-0 season and then loses in the Big 12 title game, that's one thing. But if they're 11-1 and lose in the Big 12 title game, I don't know if they get in. It's there is going to be some very, very interesting mental gymnastics that are going to have to be done with this.
Well, November is going to be crazy because those conference championship games, if Miami and BYU lose in their conference title games, that's going to wreak a lot of havoc.
Yes.
I mean, S is going to hit the fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to bring in so many other teams with a case, you know?
Yep.
Because they'll lose to, you know, SMU or Clemson, and whoever wins, the ACC is in. Or BYU might lose to Colorado or Kansas State.
It's going to be really hard for me to, and again, this is where conference championship games, I just wonder if eventually they're counterproductive. The idea that you can be punished for having to play an extra game against a really good team just seems fundamentally wrong. If Penn State and Indiana both get to sit there as a one-loss team and be like, hey, we're in. Meanwhile, a team like SMU or Miami or BYU or whoever is a one-loss team, and they have to go play an extra game against another top 12 or 13 team, and that's a heartbreaking loss, they get booted? It just seems fundamentally broken. But obviously an undefeated team that loses their conference title, they're in no matter what.
Well, sure.
And they'll be forced to put in two. I guess there is no more ACC. It'd be the Big 12. It'd be like if BYU did it. But I just don't like an 11-1 team being punished for going to a conference title game. Meanwhile, Indiana and Penn State, which more than likely in my mind would lose to Ohio State and Oregon, they don't have to face that simply because they weren't good enough to get to the title
game. Penn State right now, the way the rankings came out yesterday, they can avoid the Big Ten title game and get a home playoff game.
Safe as kittens, and all they have to do is beat Purdue, Minnesota, and Maryland. And I think we can all agree, there's not a good team amongst that bunch. Minnesota is at least okay. They're 6-4, but that's your big hurdle is beat Minnesota and you're in. You know, meanwhile, you know, if you're Miami or whatever, it's like you got to go beat a really good SMU team that's playing or Clemson that's uber talented. It's it's kind of silly.
Crazy.
Yeah, conference title games under this kind of new regime, they won't get rid of them because there's money involved, but they just seem...
Well, what you're going to do is they're going to expand the playoff.
They have to do it because it's just silly and antiquated that you have to face one more hurdle and other teams don't. You shouldn't be punished for being good and playing in your conference title game.
How soon before the playoff 16?
3 years.
That's what I think, too.
Because something will happen. Too many teams are going to have this scenario, and they're going to say this exact argument. You are punishing us for being good. Yep. And that's just it's
and
not
they're
gonna
realize
fly.
They can make make more money off of more games.
Yeah. And all you gotta do is simple is just give three other teams a bye. And when you win your conference title game, those four teams get a bye. And then you just put three other teams in there, and that frees up where you eliminate some of this crap and you go to 16 and, you know, call it good.
Someone said if Indiana beats Ohio State, is Ohio State out?
Most likely. Yes.
They got to win that game.
They got to win that game. Because at that point, Indiana is undefeated, and Indiana would have the tiebreaker over Ohio State. So they would need – Indiana could still lose a game and still end up going above Ohio State. So, yes, for all intents and purposes, Ohio State needs to beat Indiana to go in the Big Ten title game.
All right, up next, another one. On the fan. Yeah. Well, this pertains to nothing, but most of what we talk about, well, some of what we talk about pertains to nothing.
I love to pertain to nothing. It's like the basis of my life.
But I saw this and thought, this is amazing, I think.
It's, I don't know. It's kind of amazing.
Well, I have no frame of reference for if this is unusual. It seems very unusual. Mm. And it is that the Washington Commanders, do you know them? They play in the NFL.
I'm familiar.
They will this week. 1, 2, 3.
Carrying the one.
5, 6, 7,
niner.
They will 42. Face their ninth Heisman Trophy winner this season.
Get right the hell out of town. So I'm trying to think of.
And at one point, they started a Heisman Trophy winner.
What?
Because didn't Marcus start a game for Jaden Daniels?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but Jaden Daniels won a Heisman too, so.
They started two Heisman Trophy winners.
I forgot about
that. I honestly, for a minute there, I thought Buck was being a wise ass.
Nope, wasn't doing bits. I just kind of forgot that
part.
I
was with him.
Yeah. Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, Buck was like, and I think at one point they started a Heisman winner, and I was like, he's doing, and I was like, no.
Nope.
Yeah,
nope. So they,
Daniels won a Heisman there, just saying. They got two Heisman winners. So they're going to play nine Heisman winners, and they've played themselves. Both their quarterbacks are Heisman winners.
So they played Baker Mayfield in week 1.
Okay.
Joe Burrow in week 3.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray in week 4. Jameis Winston in week 5.
I'll be damned.
Lamar Jackson in week 6. Also Derrick Henry. Week 7, Bryce Young. Week 8, Caleb Williams. Week 11, Devontae Smith.
Well, I'll be damned.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Washington Commanders. Now, I don't know if that's unusual.
That feels kind of.
But it feels unusual.
Well, and how about, can we give credit? Because a lot of time, the Heisman Trophy winner, the Tim Tebow's of the world, like, blech. The only one in there that's like that, well, there's two. Bryce Young, blech. And Jameis Winston, it's like, blech. So, the rest of
what
those.
What are we doing there? Blech?
Yeah, blech.
Blech.
Blech. Blech. Like, Bryce Young is the definition. And then Jameis isn't.
Being a man of increase?
You know, Jameis is only like a half. He doesn't get the K at the end. He just gets the bleh. So the rest of those are nice, solid players. And some of those are just dynamite, like best players in the league.
Well, it leads you down the road of how many Heisman Trophy winners has one team faced in a season.
Yeah.
But I can't find the answer.
You can't find the answer to that?
No. AI can't tell me.
So the last time we had like a crappy Heisman winner. Because for a while there, man, we had some. There was a weird point there where we had a lot of like.
Well, you have Manziel.
Yeah, Manziel sucked.
I mean, he's a good college player, but.
Yeah, but he sucked. I mean, he was like the definition of dog poo. That's true, but that was a while ago. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I just feel like Heisman Trophy winners lately have been getting pretty good. I guess I'm probably full of crap because I just mentioned Bryce Young. So you had Daniels, Williams. Verdict out on Caleb Williams. Bryce Young sucked. Devontae Smith, really good. Burrow, good. Murray, good. Mayfield, good. Lamar, great. Derrick Henry, great. Marcus, eh. Winston, eh. Manziel, blech.
Ooh, and yeah. Griffin. We had a 5-year run there.
Yeah,
where,
that's bad.
Or 4 years.
Yeah.
Oof.
And then Cam Newton, great. Ingram was solid. Bradford, Tebow, Troy
Sam
Smith.
Sam Bradford.
That's a bad. So I give you.
Sammy Sleeves.
Which is the worst 3-year run? Manziel, Winston, Mariota. Blech. Or do you go with Sam Bradford, Tim Tebow, Troy Smith? Blech.
I go with that one.
That one's bad. That's real bad.
I mean, you at least got some, like. Marcus and Jameis weren't horrible right out of the gate. They didn't turn into like franchise like cornerstones or anything, but some like Tim Tebow and Troy Smith didn't do anything.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good, Bob.
Jameis at least still has a job.
Yeah. God, I bet Sam Bradford's living a great life right now.
He made so much money.
He was the very end of that massive
first-round pick
guaranteed
money
train.
He's the one that I believe broke the straw that broke their back.
Yeah.
I think he signed for, I want to look this up, but for whatever reason in my head, I have 56 guaranteed.
I was thinking 50 million guaranteed, but yeah, it's right. It's in that range.
And that's when people were like,
hold on
all right,
a second.
We're
he
not,
hasn't played a snap yet.
Yeah, we're not doing this. There has to be.
Hold on, everybody.
Sam Bradford rookie contract with the St. Louis Rams 2010 was a 6-year, $78 million deal with 50 guaranteed. And that was the one that broke the back. And I think it was Garnett's in the NBA when they went to the rookie scale. And then Kevin Garnett's deal, and they're like, all right, enough of this crap. We're all slotting these things in there.
I see where Bradford has invested in a weed medical marijuana dispensary.
Of course he has.
In Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh. Well, he doesn't really strike me as the weed bro. And he certainly doesn't need it.
No, I don't really get that vibe.
Could have guessed what Sam Bradford made? Again, 50 guaranteed.
Yeah, how much he made in his career?
How much he made in his
career?
I'm
going to say 110.
Ryan Buckley?
130.
Hey, look at that. 130.
Damn.
Wow. Yeah, made $130 million and
$22,863
bucks. That man made $130 million. He was the Sam Darnold of his time where everyone just was like, he can be good. He can be good. And he never was. He's had varying degrees of not sucking. Have you noticed, by the way, that Sam Darnold, who I'm rooting for, Sam Darnold that was gangbusters for like 5-6 weeks, and now we're kind of like, oh, God. We're coming back to the – we're like, now we're starting to see it. This is – It's like the regression has started back to the old Sam Darnold.
So do you think who has a better quarterback rating, Sam Darnold this year or Sam Bradford in his career?
Ooh. I know the last couple weeks have been kind of rough. And Bradford probably wasn't terrible. I'm going to still lean towards, I'll go Darnold.
Darnold 99.2?
Yeah. Yeah, Bradford's not 99.
Sam Bradford 84.5.
Yeah. Now, the question will be at the end of the year, because like I said, Darnold's trending the wrong way. Like, teams are starting to kind of figure that out.
Wrong.
I mean, last week was peak Sam Darnold. Like, it was, I was waiting for O'Connell to go over and just like kneecap him and be like, I swear to God, you do this one more time.
You know who's the first guy that comes up when, so talking about Sam Darnold's career, because I was thinking about comps, like Who is he? Who is he like?
Mm-hmm.
You know who the first guy comes up on Football Reference?
To Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
Is it Sam Bradford?
Or, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Bradford.
Oh.
Did I say Darnold?
Yeah, you said.
I was talking about, I don't care about Darnold. I was talking about Bradford, who has now piqued my interest because I forgot about him. And I'm like, well, what? Who is he like? Like, I feel like.
Because he played for a long time,
yeah,
right?
He got several
chances. Talking about in today's quarterbacks?
It's just anybody.
Oh.
Who do you compare him to? Like, what career arc is Sam Bradford's?
Gosh. I'm trying to think of who's the definition of
Chad
like
Pennington?
Middle of the road. I bet Pennington was better than he was.
Bradford started 83 games. He only played 8 years.
I thought he played longer than that.
St. Louis, Philly, Minnesota, and Arizona.
I don't know why this popped into my head. I guess just because like I was in Denver with him, but like, felt like a Brian Greasy. I don't know.
He's kind of on the list here. Career wise, they're saying Elvis Gerbach.
Okay, I don't know why I
didn't realize Elvis had 8 years.
Well, I don't know that he. This is just career comp.
Just the career comp. So that Elvis Gerbach, huh?
Yeah, Elvis. Well, he played 8 years. Yeah.
Didn't Elvis Gerbach, isn't he the one that replaced?
He famously replaced Steve Young. Oh, I thought it was Steve Young.
No. I think Elvis Gerbach was the one that they won a Super Bowl in Baltimore, and then they got rid of Trent Dilfer, and I believe they replaced him for Elvis Gerbach.
I see. Elvis Gerbach, as a 49er, was on the cover of Sports Illustrated after replacing Steve Young.
I feel like he got benched or they got rid of him for Elvis Gerbach, and then nothing ever happened again.
So Sam Bradford's career comps by Football Reference, and there's a big formula involved,
oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Wade Wilson, Elvis Gerbach, Jason Campbell, Chris Miller, Kyle Orton, Tony Banks, Stan Humphries.
Okay.
You know,
that's not great,
that's
bro.
That's not great.
Now, did they give you any nicknames, official nicknames for Bradford on the old football reference?
I'll bet you that he made more than most of those guys combined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. So
you can say
jokes on them.
Yeah, you can say all you want about Sam Bradford, but my guess is he's just sitting back there like $130 million, bitches.
Sam Darnold career. Ooh. Joey Harrington, Mark Sanchez, Mark Malone, Kyle Buller, and Charlie Batch.
Again, not.
That's worse.
It's worse. You just hope that Darnold can finish off this year strong. And then, did you see McCarthy had another knee surgery? So, J.J. McCarthy.
Oh.
Yeah, he had to have the same knee operated on.
Yes, I saw that, a second one.
Yeah, the meniscus.
What a little bitch.
It can be kind of tricky. Same thing. So they had to go in there and redo it. So
lace them up, you little bitch. Let's go.
You know, Darnold may get another crack in Minnesota next year. Or, like, I know people are like, oh, my God, he's going to get paid. No, he's not. I think people are, again, Sam Darnold's having a nice year. And most people believe that this is simply a product of playing in that system. No one's going to give him a bunch of money to go be a starter.
Resourceful little bitch.
Sam Darnold's best hope at this point, I believe, is to become like a Fitzpatrick. Who else was like that? That was a solid bridge quarterback for a number of years.
Like Minshew's kind of like that now.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, Minshew, maybe like Brian Hoyer, where
Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, I think that's where he's hoping, maybe aiming a little higher. So I went with like Fitzpatrick because, you know, Fitzpatrick had a couple solid years. Sam Darnold, I don't believe, will ever be someone's quarterback, and you're like, that's our quarterback. Like, it's like, we feel good, we feel settled.
It's my quarterback.
Like, we're committing the next handful of years to him.
No. Yeah. Well, I want to see, I'm going to look at this. Geno may be up, and I want to see what Seattle does with
Sam Darnold to the Hawks?
With Geno. Because I like Geno Smith way more than most people do. But this year obviously hasn't been fantastic for the Seahawks. They got one more with Geno.
It's my quarterback.
He may go into next year as kind of a weird lame duck.
It's my quarterback.
Quarterback. Yeah, but they got one more cost-controlled year on him at like $14 million, and then you're going to have to make a decision.
All right. Club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.